How many people do we encounter on a daily basis? Have you ever taken the time to consider what those people are going through? The dreams, aspirations, fears, and challenges that are faced each day make every individual unique. Can our understanding, our interactions with these individuals, help them overcome the mountains that are faced each and every day? We think so, because it's the little things that can make a big difference. And here's Mitch and Jake.
Welcome to The Little Things with Mitch.
And Jake.
Jake, season two is arrived. Had a great time doing season one with you. It's been a little bit of a hiatus between, but I'm ready to jump back into it. How you doing, man?
I am doing great, brother. Excited to be back. Chapter two. I know we've been looking forward to this ever since we wrapped up chapter one with our interview of Sean Covell. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out that. That was one of our favorite episodes, and Sean had a lot of insight to his journey and how it ties into everyone's journey. But yeah, man, looking forward to it. Chapter two, excited. Just got done with the Thanksgiving holiday. How you doing, man?
Doing fine. Basketball starting up now. It was nice. Took a nice little trip with my wife to Minneapolis and took in Chan Hassen Dinner Theater, which is always great with her. We really enjoy that. And I'm going to miss the time with family and kids for the last month. I've really gotten to be home a lot with in between seasons and stuff. But now we pick up, and I mean, it's the way of life, and we'll make it work. But sure enjoyed that time anyway.
Yeah, that trip sounded amazing. I know we caught up on that over the weekend. That sounded great. I got to spend Thanksgiving with the family as well, too. We actually hosted at the farm, so we had a great time, some good food, and too much pie and ice cream at the end of the night. I probably didn't need that.
Amen, brother. Well, hey, a special shout out to Brent Nathaniel for the intro. I dig it, man. He did a great job. It's been starting off or an ending. The outro has been ending our podcast. It's the whole season one and will continue to be with us as long as the Little Things podcast is going. So nicely done there, Brent. Just to kind of give a description of the podcast, you know, now that we're starting season two here. It's based on my book, Cardboard Confessionals. You can buy that at Amazon or some local bookstores. It's at Barnes & Noble's online there. But Amazon's kind of the main seller there. Check that out. We asked seven questions to high school and middle school students. What do you want to do before you die? What makes a meaningful life? What is something you've given up on? Each chapter is a different question, and then we selected seven confessions from students and really broke it down in that book. And that's kind of the way this is all set up. So today we're going to tackle meaningful life, and then these next episodes within the season are going to actually be student answers. So I'm really excited to dive into this question, just kind of a real big one. Jake, any comments on maybe how season one went, maybe some things on how this podcast, how that's all set up, what it's kind of looked like this last 2 months?
Well, we've really enjoyed chapter one and season one. And, you know, I don't want to speak for you, Mitch, but when you came out to the farm, you know, over the summer, and we came up with this idea to have our conversations and try and further the conversations that we were all having through a platform like a podcast. And to be here in December, you know, one season down and on to season two, it's just awesome, man. You know, like, I know we're going to get into a good discussion here about living a meaningful life, but part of that is living a life of purpose and something that you enjoy doing. And I've just really, really enjoyed the podcast and the conversations that we've had, and then the conversations and messages and comments from our listeners and the different talks that those have spurned as well too. So just really, really enjoyed it and excited to be here again for season two, man.
Throughout this season, we're going to be talking a lot about what makes a meaningful life. The folks at Northwestern Mutual understand what a meaningful life is composed of and want to help you find it. Certified financial planner Luke Bruns has been with Northwestern Mutual since 2009. He provides holistic financial planning and strives to protect what matters most to you and your family. For more information, contact Jake and me at thelittlethings.mitchandjake@gmail.com. He's been fantastic for my family. I've worked with him for the past 7-8 years, and gives me great guidance, and I wouldn't trust my money with anyone else. So I appreciate you, Luke, and just a shout out to you and what you do for families. So our main goal is to show you that by appreciating the little things in life and understanding what the people around us are enduring, we can increase everyone's quality of life. The question of the day, what makes a meaningful life? Geez, Jake, we got a doozy today to start off season two. What do you think?
Love it. It's going to be a great discussion. Chapter two starts off with a bang. What makes a meaningful life? Certainly what I think when I think of a meaningful life, it means something different to everyone. You know, we're all unique. We all have different experiences, different relationships, different goals, different circumstances and events that happen in our lives. But we all need to find meaning, and we all need to find purpose. And I think we're really going to dive into a deep discussion here and kind of find out what makes each of us tick, and then hopefully get some feedback from the listeners. So what are you most looking forward to here?
Just the depth of the conversation and how you and I, and then people, our audience, our listeners, they send questions and send reflections of the podcast and how that differs. I think I appreciate everyone's journey and their definition of meaningful life. It really adds context to what we're talking about. So I'm really interested on kind of you being a soundboard for me and listening to what I got to say and kind of shouting out your ways. But I'm really looking forward to it. Here's the thing with it, Jake. And we write down everything that makes life meaningful for us. Our purpose, our values, what we want to get accomplished. If we write that down on paper, I think it's pretty easy for us to look at all that stuff and say, yeah, that's achievable. That's not that hard. That's something we should really get accomplished. But why would we ever astray from it? Because we do. Every single day, we do things that contradict what make life meaningful for us. We really do. And I guess, why do we as people do things that lead us away from what we see as a meaningful life?
I think it's human nature to become complacent and to just coast through different periods of our life. Perhaps you've been in a certain state like that before. I certainly have. I know I can speak for myself, where there's been different periods of time in my life, some of our listeners' lives, where we just feel like we're coasting. You know, it's almost like as if we're sitting on the sidelines and watching life pass by. You know, maybe we found some meaning in a relationship that we had and developed and grew, and then we did the same thing in our professional setting, you know, our career through our work. And then once we achieve, you know, maybe a smaller goal or something specific that we set out to do, once we achieve that, I feel like it's human nature to just become complacent and to kind of just live, you know, steadily and securely. And that's tough to continue to live a meaningful life if you identify something that finds meaning towards you, and then once you achieve it, you just kind of coast after that. I think that's something that happens to a lot of us. And, you know, one of the things that I find meaningful in life is continuous growth. I just really enjoy development, developing myself, learning new things and reading and trying to gain new perspectives that other people have to offer. So I think that happens to a lot of us. We get a little bit complacent, we get a little bit steady and secure, and we stray away from that meaning, that drive that we tend to have, you know, when we're younger or after we accomplish something.
See, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Everyone's definition of a meaningful life is very different. There's some people, Jake, that would completely disagree with you and say, what makes my life meaningful is that I come home and I'm comfortable. I know what's expected of me, very fixed mindset, but I know exactly what I've accomplished. I know what I want. This is what I want. This is what I live in. I'm happy with where I'm at. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to take a step outside the box. But that's not me, and it's not you. But I think, like, I look at my relationship with my wife. I think she's very much a comfort person. She likes to be very comfortable. And we complement each other extremely well in that sense. I'm one that wants to grow. If anything's stagnant, I push it to the side and you continue to move forward with it. But she also gives me stability with that sense of comfort, with that sense of knowing exactly what's expected of you. She's very much that way, and we complement each other. And I think you got to find people in your life that are a little bit of both. I don't want to say stagnant. Stagnant's not the word I'm looking at. But those that have looked back on their life and appreciate what they've accomplished and they're satisfied with it. I want to say satisfied, not stagnant. And to find people that push them to be better so they can complement one another. Does that make sense, Jake?
That makes perfect sense, Mitch. That's a great point that you brought up. I think that's a good point to the podcast. You know, like, not all of us are going to agree on things, and that's kind of our goal with this, is to further those conversations and gain new perspectives. One thing that, you know, I would challenge maybe that thought process is when you do accomplish something or you do find meaning and, you know, you're satisfied, what happens if you find that satisfaction when you're 24 years old or when you're, you know, 36 and you have, you know, 3/4 of your life to live or half life to live? You know, there's so much more to experience, and we're here for only one spin. You know, we're here one time. But, you know, we all get stuck in those coasting periods, those times where we do feel satisfied. And I think it's important to look at small wins. I know we've talked about this before, but you definitely need to look at, you know, goals that you've accomplished and certain things that you strived for and achieved. I think it's very important to celebrate those and to look back at the hard work that you put in and celebrate those wins. But after you do that, I would push the button and make sure that we're continuing on to new goals and to strive for new things after those instances. What are your thoughts on that?
I always think about, what will I think about this when I retire? When I'm 65 years old, if something in my life happens, I look, kind of take a step back and look at a different perspective on it and be like, is this going to matter when I'm 65? I think that's kind of where you're at a little bit, Jake. If you get things accomplished that you believe are meaningful at 24, are you going to agree with that, you know, when you're 65? Are you going to be fine that 40 years in between when you accomplish this thing in retirement, what are you going to ask yourself? Be like, nope, that was great. I'm glad that I looked at things. I didn't really push myself. I just appreciated the things I had in my life. I wanted to live a very simple life. Or at 65, are you going to, darn it, I wish I would have taken more steps out of the box. I got that accomplished. It was a big accomplishment for me. I had a good life, but what if? You know, the what ifs really scare us a little bit, Jake.
Yeah, the what ifs, or the big R word we all fear, which is regret. I, for one, I know you, I know several, if not all of our listeners, don't want to get to the end of the road and regret something. You know, regret something we did, or regret something that we didn't do, something that we didn't take a chance on. You know, that's kind of what you're getting at there, and it's, you know, it's almost fearful. We've talked about fearful a lot. You don't want to fear to regret something when it's all said and done. So that's a great point, and I think that definitely ties into a meaningful life and how it means something different to each and every one of us.
I want to give an example here from the project. We had a student that wrote, "What makes a meaningful life? Following God and preaching His word." I guess that pops into my head as something that we feel is meaningful, and we astray from it big time. We don't attend church. We don't pray. You know, we don't work on our craft, so to say. What are your thoughts on in a lot of different things that we fall short on meaningful life? Our family, having a loving family. I think we astray from that because of the busyness of our life. What, you know, when I talk about these things, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you brought up several different points there. You know, following God and preaching His word, whether you go to church or not, or believe or not, or, you know, pray every night, or, you know, every other month, whatever it may be. I think they're, at least for me, you know, this is for me, I think it's important and it's meaningful to me to have a belief system, to believe in something greater than us, and to believe that, you know, there is someone that's providing and has provided everything for us, and we need to follow along and live our life through faith, or live our life through hope. I think you brought that up in one of our very first episodes. You brought up, you know, have hope and then live through that, and that can be said for hope, for faith, whatever you choose to believe in. I think that's important. And then One thing you touched on was being busy or feeling busy all the time. You know, like there's never enough time, Mitch. I remember when we first talked about the podcast and launching this thing, you came out to the farm and we were talking about a discussion, and you know, you had the two daughters out there and life felt kind of busy or whatnot, or we talked about how much it's changed, and you said something that I ended up writing a post on in my blog. The quote, to quote you, was, "We're never as busy as we think we are." And that simply just ties into priorities. If you prioritize, you know, living a meaningful life, you know, you need to nail down what is meaningful to you, you know, what your purpose is, what you find value in, and live a life towards that. And it's not busy. You know, we all want more time, but it's how we utilize our time. We have no control over time except for how we utilize it. So to touch on, you know, with what you said there with being busy, we're never as busy as we think we are because we need to prioritize what's important to us.
We all of our listeners, us, we all have people in our life that are the busiest people you've ever talked to. They are. I'm serious. They are the busiest people you'd ever talk to. You kind of examine that a little bit, and you look at what those people are doing with their time. Whether they'll tell you or not, I believe that busyness revolves around undesirable tasks. When people are doing things that they don't like to do, or it's not really fulfilling their purpose and their value, I think that's when you become busy, because it feels like a chore rather than just accomplishing goals.
That's the old adage, Mitch. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And that's not just for work or your career. That's for everyday life. If you love things that you're doing, whether it's professionally, spiritually, tending to your family members, you know, your friends, things that you find of value, things that you find important, you love what you're doing. You know, it's not busyness. I think that ties into that old adage pretty well.
And you talk to a lot of different people and their definition of busy and what that looks like. But I think we do have to sift through what we're doing. And if we truly think we are too busy, because when I'm rolling with things, I like to be busy. I like to have a lot of things that I'm doing. But if someone asks me, I'm running from place to place like a chicken with my head cut off, I'll never tell you I'm busy because I love it. Busy just has a bad, I guess, connotation with me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm kind of the same way, Mitch. We're wired similarly. I always feel like I need to be doing something, you know, whether it's writing or hopping on a podcast or, you know, pulling up my phone and calling someone that I haven't had a conversation with in a while. You know, I always feel like I need to be doing something to keep furthering myself. And busyness definitely has a negative connotation, but you hear it a lot. You hear it all the time from people. And I think if you turn your busyness into things that you appreciate and want to accomplish, things that are important to you, it no longer becomes busy.
Well, I had a question to pose for you here, but I think we answered that question with the first one. That means we're doing some good things, Jake. We're really getting things accomplished on the podcast tonight.
Hey, that's what we strive for, Mitch.
All right. I'm interested in this. Does meaningful evolve over time? What we feel is meaningful, does that evolve over time? And what made a meaningful life for you in high school, and how has that changed?
Meaningful, 100% a meaningful life evolves over time. Now, I say that with maybe a grain of salt, and I'll explain myself here. I think that what you find meaningful, and I use the word purpose a lot, so whether you want to use meaningful or purpose here in this connotation, but I think at an early age, I read something that said you try and find meaning or try and find your purpose very early on, and then make sure that your decisions in life have that purpose and meaning in mind. So no matter what decision you make, what corner you turn in your life, whether it's relationships or career, make sure you have that original meaning or that original purpose in mind, that foundational piece. And of course, you know, life changes over time. You know, you have different events happen to you. You have different circumstances that happen in life. You make some big decisions. You make some small decisions. But each one takes you to the point of where you're at in your life today. And I think it's important that you keep that meaning and that original purpose in mind when you're making your decision. So yes, it definitely evolves over time. And I think, you know, part of that is making sure that you're always in line, you're always identified by something that you hold of big time value, in my opinion.
See, I'm going to take that question. I'm going to completely turn it 180. And you see if you follow me or not, and if you agree with me or not. I don't know if meaningful changes or evolves over time. I think the things that are important to you in high school are still going to be important to you. The core values and just really what makes a meaningful life. I think what changes is our experiences. The things that we've endured and the challenges that we've overcome and the things that have come in our life. For example, I mean, it was a good thing that I didn't have two kids in high school. I mean, I really learned a lot, I can tell you that. But kids have come into my life, and that's given me, holy smokes, my English teacher would be upset with me, has given me.
Yeah, I wonder if he or she's listening.
Oh, boy. She actually edited my book, and she didn't say anything too bad. So, I mean, she's awesome, though, coaches volleyball, and she's just she's a role model. She's a cool person that we look back on and –
We'll give you a pass this one time, Mitch, okay. But you can continue on.
Anyway, I don't think meaningful changes. I think it's the circumstances and the situations that we and the experiences that we endure throughout our life. I'll give you an example. When I was in high school, I strive to make people smile and be the life of the party, so to say. Is, you know, when I'd walk in, I'd light up a room and people would be excited to see me and they'd want to come and talk to me, and we'd have really good conversations. I had really good relationships with people. That hasn't changed. I still want to do that. I still set out to do that when I converse with different people. You know, in my position now as superintendent, sometimes people talk to me and they're not happy with me, you know, and that's okay too. But meaning hasn't changed for me. It's been the circumstances. Does that make any sense?
It does. I get what you're saying, Mitch, and it is a little twist, which I enjoy, and I'm gonna kind of piggyback off what you said there, Mitch. I've kind of, over time, my circumstances have kind of brought me to a different frame of mind, and I've always, I guess, kind of believed that, you know, we all have events and circumstances that happen to us. You know, you said experiences. Like, we all have different experiences that happen to us. What we decide to do with those experiences, that kind of shapes who we are. That reframes who we are. And sometimes that can give us different meaning. You know, to challenge you a little bit, you know, sometimes those circumstances and events that happen to us, whether they be good or bad, they change our meaning at times. I think it's important that, you know, what we decide to do with them, I know we've talked with this about this topic on a prior episode, but what we decide to do with our decisions, you know, it's important to acknowledge the decision and to not take, you know, the path that leads you down, you know, regret and remorse and, oh, I should have done this, you know, I should have done that. You know, it's important to see the decision for what it was, acknowledge it, learn from it, grow from it, and then take the path to continue on and to move forward. So I certainly understand your point of view there, and I think it ties along a little bit with mine, but that's interesting. I would like to hear from our listeners kind of some thoughts on that. And, you know, we'll touch it on the end, but shoot us an email anytime, really, about any of these thoughts. You can reach us at thelittlethings.mitchandjake@gmail.com. But that's an interesting point, Mitch. I like it.
Looking through the book, The Power of Meaning, by Emily Isfani Smith, they come up with four concepts of a meaningful life: belonging, purpose, storytelling, and transcendence. Out of those four words, Jake, which one sticks the most with you when talking about a meaningful life?
Those are four big-time concepts. I like that. The one that sticks out to me the most is purpose. I'm actually reading a book right now. It's called Claim Your Power by Mastin Kipp. And the purpose of the book is to basically hit in different, you know, to find the hidden circumstances and events that have kind of morphed you over your time, based on those, basically kind of, in a way, finds your purpose. It aims you towards your purpose. And purpose sticks out to me because I think that's important to live a life of purpose, of meaning. You know, you need to find something that you're passionate about, that fulfills you, that, you know, inspires you daily, and that serves others. And to me, that's utilizing your purpose, shaping that, informing that, and really, you know, fine-tuning that, and then using that purpose to serve others. So I think that's important, and that's kind of the concept that sticks out to me the most. Which one sticks out to you, Mitch?
Purpose is a good one. Purpose is a good one. It probably be my initial one that I would say, but as I got thinking about it more, belonging. In the educational world, and really in the entire world, society, when I think belonging and you don't belong, probably one of the biggest things that overcomes us and leads us astray on our path to success and like where we want to end up, I think is loneliness. I really do. I see students struggle with loneliness all the time, and their ability to communicate and talk with people they trust. So I would say loneliness. If you belong, and you know, I talked earlier about my wife and I and how we complement each other. There are times where we're lonely, but we feel like we can lean on one another, and we belong. I don't know. I've never not belonged anywhere I've been. And I hope that's the same for our listeners, but I know people that are listening to this, Jake, are lonely and they're struggling, and I do hope that they find a niche or find something that complements them and gives them that sense of belonging so they can go right back to the path of success.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mitch. We've talked on this before, and maybe we, you know, make a point here again, but belonging is so much, and it ties into, you know, again, the people you surround yourself with. You know, I'm a firm believer that you need to believe in yourself and have, you know, purpose and believe that, you know, you are of worth and hold value to yourself and others. And with that becomes, you know, family and friends and in your circle of influence. Like, who you surround yourself with is so, so important. And the relationships that you have, not just acquaintances, I know we've talked about that before. You know, it's great to have acquaintances and know a large amount of people, but it's that circle, it's the deep connectedness and the relationships that you have and the bonds that you form. That's meaningful. I mean, that's something that I think should hold a lot of merit. What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more.
I love it. Well, let's touch on the other two. So we touched on belonging and purpose. The other one was storytelling. I think that's really neat. You know, the foreign concepts of living a meaningful life. Storytelling's pretty cool. Like I mentioned, you know, we're all unique individuals. We all have unique experiences, events, different characteristics, different values that we bring to the world. And storytelling kind of, in a way, unites all of us. You know, you hear stories at dinner parties and Thanksgivings and Christmases and a phone call on your friend and maybe a podcast that you're listening to, but it's stories that kind of connect us all. You know, again, we're all individually unique, but storytelling kind of connects us in a way. I thought that was pretty cool when reading
that. And I'm going to just shorten that up and basically put everything you said in just a small bottle here. Relationships. Talking to people, 100%. Working with people, all stories, I feel good stories involve the people that you love and people that you've built experiences with. So I would say relationships kind of remind me a lot of storytelling. And last but certainly not least, transcendence, believing in things, hope. You know, you talked about it earlier. I think that's a huge deal. I just picked belonging. I thought it was important because loneliness is a huge deal. But you could make a case for all four of these.
Yeah, they're all great. Transcendence, you know, just believing in something that's greater than ourselves. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But yeah, belonging and purpose are awesome, and storytelling and transcendence as well too.
Before the end of each show, we revisit past episodes and include reviews, questions from our audience and our listeners. Just enjoy doing that. This segment is brought to you by Steve Hilgeman. You know, pretty cool dude, Steve Hilgeman Bud is what I call him all the time. But really likes what we're doing, Jake, here, and he wanted to help us along and get our message out. So I think this is a good one. One, because he likes talking to people and building those relationships we talked about, but sure appreciate his support. We've got one here, Landon Fishback, and he sent a doozy out. What is one habit you developed in life that has had the most positive impact on you? Good luck.
Good luck. A doozy. So you're going to make me go first, huh,
Mitch?
That's what it is. What is one habit that you've developed in life that has had the most positive impact on you? I'm going to go with resiliency. And this is something that's definitely, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's definitely formed over time for me. But resiliency, that's one habit that I've developed. I've had my share, and just like all, you know, I've had my share of failures, experiences, circumstances, setbacks. You have as well, Mitch, and all of our listeners have had, you know, setbacks and failures as well too. And I've had my fair share of them. And one thing that I've kind of developed is just the ability to, you know, I touched on this briefly, but acknowledge the mistake or the failure, acknowledge it, look at it, understand it, and then learn and grow and continue to push forward from that. So I've been very resilient, especially as of late in my life, and will continue to build on that habit that I've developed. So my habit, Landon, would be resiliency. How about yours, Mitch? Here's your duty.
I think hard work, I would say. And why I think that's so interesting is I look at some of the jobs I had in high school, some of the things I had in high school, and I didn't work terribly hard. But I think when you find a purpose, and I'm going to sit here and completely contradict what I said about meaningful and how that changes. I don't think it changes. But I'm sitting here telling you that I found things that are super important in my life that give me purpose. I don't want to say meaning because I'd be contradicting myself, so I'm not going to. But a family, a wife, yeah, she was my girlfriend in high school and I still worked hard for her. But my family, my job, my occupation that I love, I go and try to improve those situations. Where as in high school, you just kind of went along with the flow and yeah. But now, I mean, you've actually got direction on where you're going. I've got direction and I've got something at the end of the tunnel that I want to achieve every single day. So I go out to work hard for those things. That makes sense?
Love it, Mitch. That wasn't a doozy at all. You spit that out like you've been rehearsing that for weeks.
I had a long car ride from Minneapolis, 3.5 hours. I hit this one home. Part of it was that Landon Fishback asked me, and I wasn't letting Landon stump me. I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, Landon, what a good dude. I haven't seen him in a long time. That's exactly what he tried to do.
He's still 7 foot tall, so... So, Jake, last comments, man. We got through the first episode or the first podcast here of season 2. How'd you think it went?
Dude, loved it, man. I loved it. What makes a meaningful life? Great question. And then we'll obviously dive into some of the answers that the students left in your book, Cardboard Confessionals. But I thought it started off great. I thought we made some interesting points. You know, these are... You know, what makes a meaningful life? Well, you know, a family and kids. But what we try to do on this podcast is further those conversations, and we try and turn the narrative a little bit. And I thought we did that, you know, and we talked about, you know, how meaning changes and how purpose changes, and you know, that's part of life almost is, you know, it unfolds kind of as you live it, and that's pretty meaningful in a sense too. So I think it's pretty awesome. What are your thoughts on the beginning of chapter 2?
That was great. Such, you know, I'm interested to see how this transition goes to season 3. Season 3 is the first negative question, you know. Meaningful life and what do you want to do before you die? I don't want to say they're similar, but same kind of mindset, I guess. So I think it went well. I think we were just kind of starting off where we left off a little bit. So, I mean, it was a good time. I actually just stood up to go grab this book so to see what we got going next episode. I've got it right here. It should be a pretty good one, though.
And hey, as you get that, let me just send out a quick reminder to everyone listening. Again, thank you so much for all the support, all the comments and messages. Be sure to let us know, you know, your thoughts on the podcast. We'd like to hear from each and every one of you. Our email is thelittlethings.mitchandjake@gmail.com. Send us your questions. Send us your thoughts, your comments. you know, challenge us, challenge the conversations, challenge our thought process. We'd love to hear from you. Be sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. You know, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. You'll get notified when we release new episodes. And then last and certainly not least, leave us a rating. You know, leave us a rating and a review. Those go a long way in kind of moving up the ranks and trying to spread the podcast and spread the word and spread the conversation. So we appreciate you all and appreciate the feedback so far, and please continue to do so.
Tune in for the next episode. What makes a meaningful life? Finding the positivity in things. This is Mitch.
And Jake.
Signing out.
This was a special presentation of The Little Things by Mitch and Jake. For more details on the podcast or the project, check out mitch-reed.com, itsjustjake.com, or purchase Cardboard Confessionals on Amazon. And remember, the first step to helping someone in need is understanding and appreciating what they are going through. Thank you for listening.